Closing statements and possibly a verdict will take place this afternoon at the Greene County Courthouse for the trial of Luke Lamb. Here's Ryan Turk with more.
Lamb is being charged with unlawful communication with a juror, which is a Class 4 felony, for allegedly trying to get a jury member, Mark Boston, to vote not guilty and, quote, hang the jury if necessary. The conversation took place through Facebook in January regarding a Greene County court case. Appellate prosecutor Ed Parkinson made opening statements about the charges against Lamb, specifically the conversation he had with Boston from 10:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. on January 13th. Under Parkinson's belief, once selected for jury duty, there should be no communication made with the possibility to influence that juror. Lamb's attorney, Patrick Watts, claimed this is a new era to determine unlawful communication through Facebook and other social media platforms. Watts highlighted that Lamb is being charged with a specific statute and that the entirety of the case centers around a conversation on a public forum. Watts went on to say that for Lamb to be found guilty, the jury must know that communication between Lamb and Boston was made with the intent to influence the juror. Watts claimed that Lamb didn't know what case Boston was serving on or when it would be taking place. He added that Lamb uses Facebook frequently to express his opinions. Three members of law enforcement took the stand in the morning session. Greene County Deputy Cliff Elliott and Greenfield Chief of Police John Good reviewed the Facebook conversation involving Boston and Lamb over dinner on January 14th. Good showed Elliott the conversation to spark some interest, and Elliott proceeded to contact Greene County Sheriff Rob McMillan to see if the conversation contained information of importance. The bulk of the morning session was spent while Sheriff McMillan took the stand. Even though Lamb is running against McMillan in the upcoming Greene County Sheriff's race, McMillan says he pursued this case purely on law enforcement duties. McMillan added he was disturbed because the criminal justice system is designed for jurors to formulate an opinion on their own without the influence from others. After completing his report, McMillan sent the Facebook conversation to the state's attorney's office for review. During a counter-examination from Watts, an emphasis was made on the difference between being selected for jury duty and being selected for a specific case. The report filed by McMillan claimed that there was conversation between Lamb and Boston regarding a specific case. By reviewing the Facebook conversation, Watts pointed out that no conversation of a specific case actually took place. Watts added that in McMillan's report, Lamb talked about nullifying a specific case to Boston. When asked about this, McMillan said that that conversation said nothing regarding a specific case. Mark Boston took the stand multiple times to discuss his conversation with Lamb. Boston stated that the comments from Lamb's Facebook discussion had no influence on him during the traffic case he was a juror for, a case on speeding in a school zone. When Boston made the original post, quote, yeah, got selected for jury duty, end quote, he said he only knew it was for a traffic case and was not aware of any specifics yet. Luke Lamb was the final person to take the stand on Wednesday, confirming many of the opening statements made by Watts. Lamb appeared noticeably frustrated while on the stand and went on to state that the charges against him had, quote, ruined my life, end quote. Lamb addressed that the communication between Lamb and Boston was made online. Lamb added that he thought Boston was at his mailbox getting a letter for jury duty when he made the Facebook post, not in the process of an actual jury trial. Lamb was firm to point out that he didn't direct Boston to nullify the case, and he would never advocate nullifying a speeding in a school zone charge. Lamb assumed the entire conversation on Boston's Facebook page was in regards to laws on seatbelt tickets.
Again, that's Ryan Turk reporting, and again, closing statements will be made today at the Greene County Courthouse, and the jury will break to determine the verdict of the case.
What makes a great bank convenience? This is Corey Winters with Premier Bank. As a loan officer, we know you are busy and don't have time to fill out miles of paperwork. We make loans easy, from online applications and calculations to a friendly loan department that offers the best rates for you. We're Premier Bank. Visit us at one of our convenient locations in Jacksonville, Waverly, Whitehall, or Edwardsville, or online at premierbanksonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
South Jacksonville police made one arrest last night. 50-year-old Mary Sumter of the 1300 block of Galtra was arrested for forgery and theft at her residence at around 8:30. Sumter remains in custody. An agency in Morgan County is one of several Illinois services receiving money to address underage drinking among 8th to 12th graders. The Illinois Department of Human Services was awarded a total of $1.6 million to help communities plan and deliver strategies to reduce underage drinking. The Wells Center in Jacksonville, along with eight other agencies, will receive $37,500 to fund the first year of a five-year grant program. The grant seeks to reduce past 30-day alcohol use rates and negative consequences of underage drinking in the state. Bruce Carter is the Wells Center Executive Director.
The money will go towards working with the area schools and also our community coalition to identify strategies to deal with underage drinking. We have a very active prevention program, and we're real excited about being able to add this strategy to our overall planning. The $37,500 is for half a year, so the money will support a full-time position.
The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration's Center for Substance Abuse Prevention grant will support agencies and their multi-sector coalitions to deliver services in communities that have higher rates of underage drinking compared to the state average. According to a press release from the Illinois Department of Human Services, underage drinking costs the state $2.9 billion in legal costs, medical bills, and other expenses. Aside from being illegal, the risks of underage drinking include impaired judgment, poor academic performance, serious injuries, and an increased risk for physical and sexual assault. The public is invited to the Jacksonville Public Library tonight for the second film in the season's Humanities Film Series. McMurray College's Professor of History, Dr. Christopher Strangman, will introduce the film The Oxbow Incident and lead a post-film discussion. In The Oxbow Incident, a posse catches up with three men suspected of killing a local farmer. Some of the posse members become strongly divided on whether or not to lynch the men. The film stars Henry Fonda. The Humanities Film Series is sponsored by McMurray College, Illinois College, and the Jacksonville Public Library. The event begins at 6:30 p.m. Hiring at the Illinois Department of Transportation will soon be overseen by a federal monitor. John Gregory reports.
A judge has granted the request from a lawsuit stemming from reports of improper political hiring at IDOT. Attorneys for the governor's office had argued a monitor would be unnecessary, but Paul Vallis, the Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, won't back up that argument now that a decision has been handed down.
No, I'm not offering an opinion. The governor's going to solve the problem with or without the monitor. But if if a court believes that a monitor will reinforce, then so be it. The governor's going to support that.
Republican candidate for governor Bruce Rauner had promised to allow a federal monitor into IDOT if he's elected. In a statement, Rauner said, quote, "Pat Quinn is a phony reformer, and a federal judge just confirmed it." In Chicago, I'm John Gregory.
If there's anything a farmer knows, it's that his dirt is no place to roll the dice. That's why confidence is everything when it comes to the seed investment you choose for your farm. With Asgrow, you can plant knowing your crop is bred to perform when it hits the ground. Work with your expert Asgrow dealer for ways to grow more confidently in your field. Individual results may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Call Jim Blakeman in Prentice at 476-3516 or Phil Eck in New Berlin at 741-9381.
Now we're taking a look at news notes this morning. 8 Points Charter School opening its doors to the public for its first open house of the school year tonight from 5 to 7 o'clock. Up in Cass County, the Overall Economic Development Committee will meet at 9:30 this morning in the Beardstown City Council Chambers. Cass County Health Insurance Committee will meet at the Cass County Courthouse in Virginia at 3:45 this afternoon. And the Cass County Communities Animal Control Commission will meet this evening at 7 at the Cass County Highway Department in Virginia.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.